night on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. After a stellar White Sox game, we bring you comedian James Vickery and Kristen McAllister. And it's Friday, so that means it's our political roundtable of Kent Jakubowski, Dave Lundy, and Eric Elk. And be sure to get your calls in for another exciting episode of What's That From, where we take on a scene from your favorite movie. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, we are broadcasting live.
And the Sox win in extra innings. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. When the Sox play, we come on after the games. Otherwise, we're on from 7 to 11 Monday through Friday. And producer Michael Heidemann makes sure that all of these shows are podcast and available. You can go to iTunes or look for them on WGNRadio.com. Follow the show on Facebook. It's Patty V Show. And follow Andrea on Facebook as well, Andrea Darlis.
Yes.
You have Twitter and Instagram and all those fun things.
I do, yeah. Andrea Darlis WGN at Instagram and Andrea Darlis on Twitter.
I have. I didn't get Patty Vasquez when Twitter came out, so I have, I have Patty Vasquez CHI because I was not working for WGN Radio then.
Oh, like Chicago.
I should have done ORD just for old
O'Hare.
For O'Hare. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't do that either. But so follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. It's Patty Vasquez, CHI. I think on both. You'll find me.
Yeah. Just do a search.
There's a whole thing of selfies. But you know what? Look, if you search for hashtag selfish selfies, you'll see a lot of pictures of me with folks like Mark Carmen, who's in the studio as well, and with Andrea Darlis. Hi, Carm. How are you doing?
Hi.
What's up, Mark?
Patty. Hi, Andrea. Good to see you guys.
Great to see you. I was noticing, Andrea, I disappeared from the newsroom. I was catching up with you and Roger.
Yeah.
But there's a very nice room where the Sox coverage can be done with Andy Mazur and Mark Carmen when they're you know, waiting for the game. Not waiting for the game to end. I mean, you know, obviously very energized by...
Because you're working.
By every
hard
pitch. Yes. That's a great room. I love that. Those chairs and everything. It's a nice setup.
Yeah. You know, I saw last week a lot of people were posting on Facebook about the WG and the N coming down, and people were having meltdowns. And I don't know about you guys, but when I put on 720 WGN, I hear WGN radio. And when I, when I speak into this microphone,
right,
The studios here are unbelievable. So
You can sit down. You're standing because we were standing. But you
no,
can...
I like a good standing energy radio look. So anyway, my point is that we didn't have anything like that in the old place. It was real nice.
Do you know? And I never wanted to tell you this, Andrea. And I don't know how you feel about it, but one night we were trying. I saw some ants on the floor of the old studio.
Oh, I thought you meant here.
On the floor of the old studio. Because we were street level. So as much fun as it was to be able to watch everything on Michigan Avenue,
yes,
that studio was, you know, there were mice at some point in mm-hmm. those offices. But I pulled up a tile because when I saw one ant, I pulled, and it was just swarm. I never wanted to tell. We told Janet, you know, all the janitor services, but I didn't, I mean, there was not much we could have done as folks are coming in and out of there, but the whole floor underneath was pretty much like an ant farm.
I know.
Yeah. So
and Tribune, and you remember? I mean, Tribune is an old building. There were pipes that would burst,
mm-hmm.
and they would burst and fill up quickly, and all of a sudden you'd be standing, you know, ankle deep in water, and there'd be critters.
Right. I don't want to dog the old house, and I love old buildings, and
I do too. But it was time to go.
But this is different.
Yes. And Carm's like, I didn't mean to turn this into a diss in the old building.
Right.
No, the flavor of that building, the feel of it, it was an altar to the First Amendment, to free speech.
Yeah, I was an icon.
Yes.
Right, but we're all good.
Yes, we are all good,
yeah,
everybody. Some
right.
great stuff.
We're fine.
I'm trying to compete a little bit with some of the other folks for cutest office. We have some work to do with that wall.
Oh, yeah.
I think our futon is not bad. Our little leather, it's kind of a settee.
No offense, but, and again, maybe I'm biased, hands down, I think we do have the cutest office.
We're doing all right. We'll get there.
You got pillows for the couch.
Yes, I got pillows.
And they say
more
love
to come. Yes. Carm,
did you have an office in the old place? What did you
Yes.
Have?
I had that,
oh, yeah, you had that corner.
That cave. I had
that was not a good office.
It was little. It was tiny.
Nobody liked my office except for me. I mean, Michael never hung out in there because it was so small and uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah, tight corners in there.
And there might have been some energy left over from other shows that used to occupy that space. But I liked it because I would sleep there very often, especially when I was going down to Springfield. I would sleep from 2:15 until I would do your show with Steve, and then catch the Amtrak. So because it was windowless, it was like
it was really quiet.
Dark. It was a great place to catch a nap. So I actually liked my little off. I never decorated it. I knew it was temporary. But
you definitely did very little for that thing that you're calling your office. But great place to sleep when you needed it.
Right. We had a producer. He was always kind of glass half empty. And he was producer for Spike Odell years ago. Would never decorate his part of the office with anything except there was one picture of his kids. And he carried a briefcase every day. And I said, well, don't you want to set up even like some pens or something like that or a stapler or whatever? He said, no. He said, because that way, if they ever fire me, I can just take my picture of my kids, put it in my briefcase and leave.
Huh.
I'm like, well, that's kind of glass half empty.
Did he get fired?
Eventually, yeah.
Oh, okay.
but he was there for a long time.
Made a quick exit.
Yeah. Oh, wait, let me think. What would I have to pack up? I mean,
you'd have a lot. You have a lot of stuff.
Well, those books are all, I would, you know what? I think now that you mentioned it, I think what I'll do is I'll make a stack of books that I know I can just carry. Because a lot of them are from authors, you know, pitching us ideas for the show and something, a lot of books I want to get to. But there's a couple that I definitely want to keep. Do you have an office? Do you guys have a...
No, I'm not.
Do you have a locker?
No.
Really? Come on.
I just show up and do my thing. I don't need an office. I don't need a locker. I really don't.
Okay, I know. There should be a sports office. There used to be a sports office at the old place.
I thought there was there's no sports office.
There's a sports cubbyhole in here.
Yeah. And sports broadcast. And I have like a closet that's bigger than that.
Yeah. Right. That's not the look for storing things. They just know that I'm so efficient around here and I don't know where Dave Ennett puts his stuff. Maybe he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I shouldn't give a lot away. But I'm going to
do it.
There's a little area. Actually, it's across from our office, and it's just a bunch of cubicles.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was for sports because someone whose name might rhyme with Dave Ennett has a whole bunch of his boxes piled
up there. I think Dave has a cubicle over there.
Yeah, so I thought that was because nobody's ever sat there. I thought that was for the sports guys.
Maybe Dave's just keeping that on the down low.
You could be like Walter Jacobson and just set up camp in the middle of the room. That's what he's got, like
in the middle of the hallway.
He does. He's got like his flannel shirt like on one of the chairs. It was. He's removed it. Maybe got chilly at home. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he's got a little pillow on his chair. He's set up in the middle you know, those sort of communal tables? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I believe it. I've seen Walter at the workout facility. Walter is a fascination. I love the way he goes about his business, from drinking tea to...
Is he a treadmill guy or is he an elliptical guy?
I've never actually seen him work out.
Is he
out.
A locker room guy?
I'm more of a...
yes, he's a locker room guy!
It's more of a locker room experience.
He's one of those guys.
Can I ask... Okay, let me just throw the ball in your court.
Sure.
You're a tennis guy. What's a locker room guy?
Well, a locker room guy is somebody that when I see them at the gym, they're never actually on the treadmill or on the bike or playing basketball or swimming. They're just in the locker room, which is a great way to live your life. It's a very nice locker room.
They're doing some maintenance. They are using the showers. They're walking. Is it towel or no towel for a Walter?
Walter... I've never seen...
I imagine Walter's a no-towel kind of guy.
Walter is very comfortable walking around in his underwear over there, I think he's a towel guy at the end of the
day. Towel guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what's so funny? I mean, at least my experience is, I haven't joined a gym since, oh my God, in years, but my experience is at least...
You never had.
No, I was at the gym in the old building.
Yes, so you were part of it.
Yeah,
building,
so that was
but
kind
you
of
joined one, right.
But yeah, not like Planet Fitness or Orange Theory or anything. But when I was there, and you know, you'd shower... We always are just like covering up constantly. Like, I don't ever remember, again, I've never been to a bigger gym, but like women just kind of walking around, just kind of strutting around, talking to each other naked. But I don't do that.
Yeah, but the gym here, that's like work environment.
You want to, right.
These people, you're never going to see them again.
Have you seen Brian Altimer's post about he left the gym when he saw a guy using the hand dryer to not dry his hands?
That's aggressive.
And that's I mean, you got to have a foot up on the sink or on the ledge or something to get at that action, is all I'm saying.
That's a level of comfort that I've never personally had myself, but good for you.
Yeah. Have
good
at it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not helpful.
I'd be be mortified.
Well, that's a locker room guy.
Okay,
locker room guys would do that.
Kind of lingers.
Yeah, I remember when I was a lifeguard at the University of Illinois, and when we were at IMPE, there would always be women. There were women there were international students who I think had a certain amount of comfort that we have not yet developed here in this country. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there was I would look around like you got a towel somewhere, right? This is where's this end?
right.
What's the next step here? We actually had a woman. We had several international students who had different expectations of swimming in a pool, including being able to swim in your tidy whities.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, there was a guy just dove right in his tidy whities, and I was like, "Sir, we're gonna need to have you not do that."
Mm-hmm.
I still get fascinated by the old school stories of gym classes where dudes just swam nude. That was
my God. Gary Meyer used to tell those stories all the time,
right?
And that was at not Lane Tech, but it was
they did was it at Lane Tech too, because okay, so Lane was all guys. Tech. Yeah, they were all yes, Roger.
There
Roger,
you go, Badish.
Roger had to swim in the buff.
The YMCA in Evanston. When I was very young, also had that same rule.
Wait, the YMCA?
Yes.
So boys and girls classes separately, obviously.
Completely separate.
Oh, geez.
Different times of the day, even. Wow. Because the Evanston Y is a residential Y. So they actually had, well, back then, I don't know what it is now, but that people would actually live there.
Right.
There's
some Ys like that in the city still.
I think so.
Yeah, I know the Leaning Tower, I believe, is residential,
really?
Is the one on Irving Park Road. Yep.
You swim there, Roger?
I haven't been to the Y since I was a little kid.
But back then, did you?
I swam there, sure. I swam there.
You.
And there were, you had to take the shower, and you had the lessons, and then you went back. But at Evanston High School, when I started swimming there, we had suits. I think they had ended that policy maybe
a
couple of years. This was 66.
Okay. I'm just curious as to when they kind of started requiring.
Yeah, so a couple of years, I think, before they stopped that.
Very interesting.
Yeah, they had a whole thing about hygiene and stuff like that. By the way, Carm, we do have a listener question from the 815 about the White Sox game, actually. Why was interference not called on the slide into the catcher as he was trying to field the ball?
Because the batter or the runner coming down made every possible attempt to not interfere with Omar Narvaez, so the right call was made. That is correct. That is why that... he was not ruled for interference, and the umpires got that one correct. And that was a great baseball game tonight. Good for the White Sox. It was a nice, solid, entertaining game to watch, and a good win for the Sox. And that play was a great suicide squeeze play by the Rays.
It was fun to watch a few minutes of the game with Carm because we've watched several baseball games together, both at the park and in various places. And I forget how much I scream at the television. I apologize.
I was so happy to hear your scream tonight.
Yeah.
It was great.
I mean,
I haven't heard it in a while.
Go, go!
Anderson's like, he just was taking his time. You know what he was doing? Carm, you know what he was doing? Lollygagging.
He was.
You know what he did? He lollygagged off the field.
He flat out lollygagged coming around third. That was not great.
He wasn't digging at all, Andrea. He wasn't.
No.
Anyway, I'm glad they won because I would have been fit to be tied and yelling at Anderson.
Well, we don't need that.
All right.
We need a nice, mellow slash cheering Patty all at the same time.
We need an untied Patty. Before this slips my mind, Carm, can you stay for one segment after the news? Because I know you wanted to tell us something that we might find interesting. And that was exactly the way you put it. We might find it interesting, and I won't. We have to be the judge of this.
Okay.
But when obviously Nick D's show does Out of Context, and I it's weird when I make it in there because a lot of my stuff is in context. You don't really
like you mean to say it.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's pretty much it's blatant a lot many times.
Yeah.
And I don't do double entendres. I just do entendres.
Right.
But so I was listening to John Williams' show today, and he's got two dogs that are dachshunds,
yes,
which are wiener dogs. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's an event this weekend coming in, and you're supposed to bring your dog. And he goes, my wieners don't do well in public. They don't perform well in public. I'm like, how is that?
That is a complete Nick DiGiulio.
I was like, I was doing the dishes and I wasn't even drinking water and I had a spit take. I was
Williams, what are you doing, man?
Put it away, man. Put it away.
Put those doggies away.
Let's take a break here, the news with Andrea, and let's see if Carm has something interesting for her. I'm sorry. I put too much pressure on you now.
I think I could come through.
You can come through?
Maybe not.
All right.
It's a 50-50.
I take chances like that every single day. More after this on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Several weeks ago, Andrea Darlis and I had a conversation about whether or not she was better to travel with because she carries every single sort of antibacterial wipe. And I wanted to call Mark Carman and see if he thought that perhaps I was the better travel partner. And Carman joins us in studio. Would you rather, having seen what it's like to travel with me, would you prefer somebody who has all the, and I'm guessing you also travel with Energy C?
Like the I have zinc
and all that stuff? Right.
I do. I have the vitamin C packets, mm-hmm. and I will bring, usually, like a Skinny Pop, or I'll bring like chips or something for the plane.
She got snacks. She's got snacks,
yeah,
antibacterial
snacks.
Wipes, Purell. She's got all that stuff.
Now, a lot of Purell.
Now, the Matt, I didn't go into what how I travel with Andre.
How come?
I wanted Carm to tell you what it's like to travel.
All right, yeah, because I want to know.
Because Carm just was in need of something, and then he saw the madness that is my bag.
So Patty and I got to go out to San Diego for a cool week with the Marines, which was amazing a couple of years ago. And we're on the flight. I'm like, do you have a phone charger, possibly? I packed mine. And Patty pulled out a pocket holding sort of a fanny pack thing that had every cord for every charging device that's possibly in the world. It was frightening. I felt like I was in like...
You're like an Uber driver, because they do that. They truly now, if you take an Uber, they're like, Android or iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. I have all three. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, radio engineers they don't carry as many cords as Patty was rolling.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my god, you're kind of scary and a little bit freaky, but I love it. Thank you so much. That's amazing.
Do you do mints and gum too?
I do have mints and gum, but he didn't ask for those. Okay. I should have offered. But I also carry. So I have a. I don't have it in my purse right now, but I have a wall plug that has enough room for three plugs plus two USB chargers because when I travel, whenever
an iPad too, right?
Yes. But when I travel, and I've been doing this for a long time, when I'm in airports, I'll see that if someone has a plug, they'll plug in like three devices. Now nobody can use the wall charger. So I bring enough for everybody.
See,
that's
cool.
why I do that. And it's what kind of can twist and rotate so you can fit it anywhere.
I like that.
And we went headphone shopping in the airport, which I've never done before too. Don't you need some new headphones? I'm like, not really. But maybe I will.
I bought an international charger in the airport. I think I get ripped off because obviously you're going to get ripped off in the airport. But I was going to Greece, forgot my charger. So we had a layover in London and went to, basically it was like a Walgreens in Heathrow. So I bought a phone charger there.
Well, great job.
Ours weren't that.
They were on sale. Remember, weren't they like clearance? They were Beats. We both got a pair of Beats.
Did you guys get Beats?
Yeah, they were
cheap
ones.
Too.
Yeah.
At the airport?
Yeah. At the airport. But and they were cool and they were cheap, but then they didn't really last.
They died,
Did you guys expense them? Because it was a work trip.
I don't know how to expense stuff. I don't.
Great angle. Might have to resubmit that.
Wait a minute.
Just tell Dave Bennett. Hey, I've seen what Dave Bennett expenses. You can absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Oh, good. I didn't know that was I still have a couple things outstanding. Before we find out what Carm wants to share with us, Catherine, you are calling from Woodstock or about Woodstock. How are you doing tonight?
Hi. I'm doing well. I hope everyone there is doing well.
Yes.
You know, I keep missing the commercial when you're going to be in Woodstock at the Opera House, could you tell me and everything? So
before I share that information
share with all of us,
of course. But Catherine, before I do that, are you from Woodstock or in the Woodstock area?
Woodstock area. I'm from Wonder Lake. Yeah,
from Wonder Lake. So tomorrow I have three special events tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I am going to be at the Woodstock Farmers Market at 10:30 over by that gazebo.
Wow.
And then at about noon, I believe, I'm going to be at the Ethereal Confectionery. Have you been to the Ethereal?
We did a piece on the Ethereal Confections for Channel 9.
I'll be doing stand-up comedy there tomorrow.
My God.
I'm doing pop-up comedy all over. I'm doing pop-up comedy all
that
over the place tomorrow.
That place is the best. Make sure you get the tour of the chocolate factory, and then you go in the back, and there's a bar. It's fantastic. It's wonderful.
Sounds good.
Very excited about that. So for the big show, it's going to be me, Michael Palasek, and Annabella Val are all going to be performing on Friday, August 17th. That's the night that I'm doing I'm doing that show on the 17th. And then on August 18th, it's going to be me and Emo Phillips, along with Carl Wolfson. He's actually going to be there both nights as well. And our friends from Lincoln Lodge. We'll all be performing at the Opera House both of those nights, August 17th and 18th. And Catherine, we're also going to be teaching, comedy classes during the day. And it's going to be
great.
And then there's Carl's got a book signing for his book Slide, which he was talking about the other night. And you can go to laughstockfestival.com for more information about that.
Wonderful.
I'm so excited.
I really, really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm so glad you reminded me to let people know that I'll be bouncing around Woodstock and Crystal Lake tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you. And
thank you.
Yeah, Woodstock loves you.
I'm excited.
Somewhere to Lake loves you, too.
I appreciate that. I'll see you this weekend, hopefully, Catherine. Have a good night.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Of course. Good night. Yeah, I'm going to Woodstock.
Oh, it's awesome.
I'm catching Metro.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be catching Metro out there tomorrow.
Love Patty on the road.
I'm going to have all my cords. I'm going to do Facebook Live from the Metro station to show you how easy.
Do you bring the Purell, too?
Purell.
I'm going to get you some. I'm going to get you some travel Purell.
Let me see if I have any. Go ahead, Carm. What do you want to tell us about?
I made a trip yesterday. Have you ever been to Ridgeway, Illinois? Have you ever heard of Ridgeway, Illinois?
Sounds familiar, but I'm not off the top of my head. Which way is that?
So that would be 5 hours south. Think Carbondale. Think St. Louis. Right.
Okay.
So I went to Ridgeway, Illinois to go to a place by the name of Dinger Betts, which is owned by a guy by the name of Kyle Drone.
Uh-huh.
And Dinger Bats is your authentic mom-and-pop bat shop that some major leaguers use. They have 2% of the major league market.
Wow.
One of them, they've had Avisiel Garcia from the White Sox. Right now their biggest client, though, is Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs, and they've got Jason Hayward. So I went down there to film with my other job at FanSided.
Right.
So we filmed like how they make the bats and how the wood coming in and just the whole process and how they paint them and everything and just like this factory of bats and all these like kids.
Do they have like a lathe? Is it?
Yes.
Did you run the lathe?
I didn't run it, but I watched. How do you know about a lathe?
Lane Tech.
Wow.
I had wood shop and machine shop. I made a hammer.
Wow.
I did not
know what that was. Like, this is the lathe that you can't film the actual manufacturer of it because that's private, but this is our lathe. And I'm like, for me, a baseball guy, I thought it was just kind of cool to see the whole process.
Did they go through the types of wood that they use? Because it does make a difference as far as like what the snap of the bat is.
Right,
on a wood.
Maple and ash. And
right.
And so the quality of wood that they give to the major leaguers is the best wood, the hardest wood. That's
right.
What the major leaguers want. And then the rest of the wood goes to, you know, say minor league teams or college teams, whatnot. And it's just a...
That's great.
It's a fascinating little... And a young, you know, a small business like that who's trying to compete with like Louisville Slugger and Rawlings, and Louisville Slugger's way down and all that, but they're trying to take on the big boys. I'm rooting for them down there at good old Dinger Bats.
So it's Dinger Bats in Ridgeway, Illinois, and
yes.
Is it open to the public to purchase bats, or is this really only for...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could buy one bat if you wanted to. Had lunch at the local establishment, got a hamburger, a cheeseburger rather, that it seemed like they had, I think the cow was killed about 3 minutes before it was incredibly fresh.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. So it was an experience. 5.5 hours down, 5.5 hours back. You left at 3 something in the morning.
Oh man, that's a great
cool.
story to cover. I love that. Yeah. So do they have a website, Dinger Bats, or
I think they do. I want to say it's dingerbats.com. Maybe, kind of, sort of. I don't know.
I here's the thing.
They definitely have a website. I researched
it's dingerbats.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Because I'm, you know, I haven't played in a long time. I always had dreams. Like as a comic, I love having. I'm very particular about the equipment that I have. I have my own mic stand because there's a difference between a pistol grip and having to turn the thread on the adjustment. Mic covers in particular, but you know, you see me with my headphones and stuff.
Yes.
I was particular about my baseball mitt when I was a kid, but I never found the bat. Like I was always trying to figure out, and I'm not a very strong, I was never a power hitter. I was more of a contact hitter. So I never really needed a heavy bat, you know? So it was just kind of, you know, I was probably around 29, 30 ounces.
Yeah. The standard major league bat is 34 inches, 32 ounces. I'm sitting there holding these things. It's like, and I play a lot of softball.
Yeah.
I swing a 26-ounce bat.
Do you really?
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe it was less. Maybe it was 28 I had in high school. I can't remember.
I think in high school it was probably heavier, but like softball, and then the way the bats are made nowadays, you don't need as much weight because they're so high performance based. So
yeah.
And I just go for the nice like 26, there, a little quick swing.
I hated aluminum bats. I never, ever.
Oh, see, we always used those playing softball.
Yeah, softball. Was softball or 12-inch hardball?
12-inch hardball.
I never liked the sting of it.
We never used bats.
Bats?
Bats. Well, I'm sorry.
Wood bats.
Wood bats.
Right. Like, wow, that's impressive.
I'm like, we used our hands. I'm sorry. Yeah, they came out to our wooden bats.
Wooden bats, yes.
Right.
No, I mean,
right.
It depended on what we had, because I never really owned, I don't think I ever owned my own bat. We bought one for Griffin because we wanted him to feel, you know, I was, you know, how gung-ho I was about my kid playing baseball. Yeah. And I was all in on that. And I think he played probably two more years than he wanted to just because of how excited I was. I'm trying to see what I've packed today.
Oh,
a listener has, I don't have any cords today. I have my cords, but they're not in my pouches. I have a cord for a Droid and for and for iPhones. Paul has a comment about car chargers. What do you want to say, Paul?
Hi, Patty.
Hey.
I just want to let you know that there is a case that is available, especially for Android phones, that is got a built-in battery so that you can just charge that and have that as a spare battery.
See, the thing about, so that we'll get into the weeds on chargers and, and batteries and cases. The thing about that is that I have to have an OtterBox on my phone because my son Declan will just throw things, and this has been for me so far the best way to keep my phone protected, and they don't make them for that external, like the additional battery pack on that.
Oh, you already checked it. Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree. I know that my friend Renato Mariotti, who was here yesterday, he's got a very slick attachment so that you can have an extra battery charger, but as Carm and Andrea will tell you, I come packing with two external batteries.
So I was going to say they look like remote controls.
Yeah, these are my battery chargers. So yeah, so Carm, I am still packing.
One of those looks like they could charge the entire world.
This thing has lasted for 2 days and it's still on 4 bars of power.
I mean, that thing is a monster.
I know. I don't mess around with my chargers. Paul, thank you so much for the suggestion. Have a great night. Okay.
And always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. I do. I have dental floss, you guys. I have dental floss. Yeah, and I have dental floss, and I have these like little tooth cleaners. Like they're kind of like the little bristly ones, so you can get in between your teeth.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
Do you get your? I got my teeth whitened today. That was the thing. Do you do that there, Andrea? You got like sparkly whites over there.
You know, people have. I brush my teeth usually three several times a day. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but have you ever had yours whitened?
I never have.
Me neither.
Never ever. But you know what?
I should.
I did the Crest White strips for a while, maybe once a month for maybe a year, but nothing. But thank you. You have nice teeth too.
This speaks to your Purell. You're just nonstop.
I just try and keep the teeth white. I have one cavity.
I've never had a cavity, but
I can't play with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
I
don't want to ask Michael how many he has because I don't want to know that he also only has one, and he doesn't have to expose. He doesn't have to share that, divulge that information.
True, right? You have one cavity.
One cavity?
Ever?
I've had, when I was young, I had a bunch because I loved candy. Like, I just adored sour Skittles, and that is not good for your teeth. That's basically just battery acid.
And I ate a lot of candy as a kid. I have to agree with that. A lot of chocolates. So much chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say I'm going to Ethereal Confectioner tomorrow, too, by the way. So I'll be there. I'm going to be in Woodstock tomorrow. I've got some pop-up comedy events at the Farmer's Market, and then I will be at Ethereal Confections. Let me see what time that's going to be. At noon, it's at 1:13 South Benton Street, and then I'm heading over to the Quarry to open for the Blue Shield Band. They're performing at 7. I will be there at 6:45 because I want people to come to the Laughstock Comedy Festival August 17th and 18th. So I'm spreading the word tomorrow all over Woodstock and Crystal Lake tomorrow. Come and hang out with me. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It is Friday night in the Allstate. Well, it's Friday night everywhere, not just in the Allstate Skyline Studios, as I would say. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And I'm excited to introduce you to two more of my friends and regulars to the show.
Yes.
This is Kristen McAllister. Actress, writer, producer, she does all kinds of things.
I do it all.
Teacher. All those things.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah.
Multifaceted.
Yes.
And her lovely husband, James Vickery, who's a comedian, writer, and producer as well.
Yes. Hello.
All of those things. So and I don't know if I've ever told you a story, Andrea. When we used to carry the Cubs, there was one night when there was a huge and quick rainfall that flooded the infield before they could put the tarp out.
Okay.
So when they tried to pull the tarp back, they flooded the infield.
Oh.
And they had to delay the game. So we were supposed to start at my regular old time, which was 11 p.m. The game was still delayed. They were not turning the show over. They were not releasing the station back to us.
Okay.
So Kristen and James were scheduled for the show at 11 o'clock. And then at midnight, we were still not on. At 1 a.m., we were still not. We were playing like all kinds of like heads up. We were running around the studio. Mm-hmm. We ended up going on the air at 10 minutes to 2 a.m.
Oh, yes. So you got 10 minutes
show.
On the air.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We had like an 8-minute
mm-hmm.
show. It was so weird.
It was.
It was a weird. And they ended up canceling the game. actually.
Oh, you're kidding. Yeah, after right, all
that. Was a thing. They
waited forever to cancel.
Whoa. Literally.
Yeah. We could have been at Billy Goat Tavern that whole time.
That was a right. thing. We couldn't leave. Yeah. We could not leave because they might give us a cessation. Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was craziness. Great to have you guys on.
Oh, it's so good to be here. I love the new digs.
Yeah, isn't this cool?
Yeah,
we're enjoying
it. Fancy.
That's cool.
It is, because I was sad, I have to admit.
I know.
Everyone's probably said this. I know, so I'm repeating, but I just like really, I had such, it always felt so cool, the Tribune Tower.
Yeah.
But, my gosh.
I know. Naked people right across the way.
This is stuff that I'm just going to be staring out the window.
Don't look in that room.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Holy cow. By the way, there was, before you guys got here tonight, I was showing a few friends around the studio, and we caught some of the, some interesting things.
Oh, wow. Really?
No, yes. Let me just say, I mean, I think we could learn.
God love you.
I think we could share our experiences, Patty, you know, at least of what we've witnessed. If you are in a high-rise hotel in any city, close the curtains.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
If you don't close the curtains, it's really on you.
Yeah, and what I learned tonight is don't sit on anything in a hotel room.
Oh,
don't sit on anything in a hotel room.
Don't think anything
I've
is safe.
Heard, yeah.
No, and
don't
I'm talking
sleep in the bed. Just don't
no, and I'm talking like, you know, the chairs that are off to the side or the little coffee table or the little couch off to the side.
Oh,
just
my
put
God.
A towel over it.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Don't use the remote either.
Was it just someone sitting on everything while they were naked, or were they doing things? Were they also engaged?
You know, both.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Oh, was it somebody alone doing things?
Yes.
Oh, good on them. Mm-hmm. It's healthy to, yes.
You saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We not only saw that. I saw that on this side of the building, and we had an engineer who saw it on the other side of the building and actually snapped a photo.
Some healthy folks out there.
Just, oh.
Wait.
A
what?
Photo, that's taking it too far, in my opinion.
Yeah, just
no.
to show, it's blurry, but you can clearly make out what's happening.
Wait, Andre, you got that photo too?
You know who took that picture, right?
Yes. I know who did the photo, because I know I'm certain I'm not his email or his texting chain.
Oh no, he just was showing us in the hallway.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now
I'm like,
think,
please don't send me that picture.
Is this a desire? Maybe some people want this. This is part of the allure
for them. Oh, they think they know that we're watching them, so they are putting on an extra show. I don't know. And here's my recommendation to you now, Andrea, is what I often do, and James and I work on the road a lot, I actually end up asking the hotel for extra towels.
Absolutely.
To drape on various parts of the, especially.
Oh, this is making me feel so gross already.
Right. Hey, it's a public service announcement.
Yes.
Just, so we want your safety and your cleanliness.
Yeah. Definitely cover the office chair that you have in your hotel room.
Yes.
The couches, any sort of, definitely anything with fabric.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Kristen. How are you doing?
Well, nice to meet you guys.
Yes. Yeah, so nice to meet you.
I always think those things when I go to a hotel, and then I'm just like, meh, it's fine. And I just don't, I don't cover it or anything.
And nothing has happened to you.
Right. But now I,
for years, I would never walk in bare feet,
neither.
On the carpet.
Me
I'll
neither.
Either bring flip flops or wear my socks or, you know, shoes in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But,
man,
yeah,
I don't think about any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of the people you're talking about, probably.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And Kristen, you're in town to teach. You taught some classes over the last couple weeks?
I did. I taught a summer camp last week to kids.
Oh, fun. You were with the Green Room.
With the Green Room. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And our summer camp was fantastic, I got to say.
What age range?
We had ages 7 to 16.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a wide
range. It is a wide range. Yeah, they do have some things together, but then we split them up for the lessons. And we are teaching all day long. Like, it is, there's a really, they learn so much, but it is fairly exhausting.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting, too, for kids when they go to a fun camp like that, where they are going to get to play and use their imagination, but also someone that they know has, one, worked at that school before, now gone off to Los Angeles, pursued the kind of career maybe some of them dream of having, been on television, been, commercials.
We did use my face and name as like, hey, she's coming back from LA to teach. It was plastic. Every member of my family shared that post. Every single member of my family. They don't live in Chicago, but they shared it. My face was plastered all over Facebook. We did not get a single new sign up.
No.
Really?
Really.
Oh, man.
I mean, I didn't expect it. It was just really funny that we didn't get a new sign up, and my face was like, we were using my face to try and get a sign up, and we didn't.
At least it didn't, like, you know, replace the face.
Maybe it didn't go through. Maybe it showed up on your feed, and there was like a Facebook glitch.
Yeah, maybe.
Or it was hacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Russia
hacked. It was Russian.
Russia hacked it.
Yeah. We had a teenager from the Ukraine in our class, actually. Well, she was in town just for the summer visiting her grandmother, and she came to our acting camp. Isn't
that's great.
Cool?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. She was great.
That sounds like so
how
much fun.
How old was she?
She was 16. Wow. And she was taking the train. She was taking two buses and a train to get to the class from like a suburb on her own.
Yeah.
I was very impressed.
That's great. I worry about my son because he's about to start going to high school, and he needs to take two buses and a train to get there, and I just don't know if by the time I was his age, I was already traveling by myself a lot.
Yeah.
He's not me though.
But he is so smart.
But he's smart. I don't.
You just worry. You know, you worry. Probably the environment too, because when we were growing, or when you know you were growing up, we didn't have as much
distraction
and things like that. And now, you know, it's just different times.
I mean, you're going to worry about him anyway.
That's true.
He'll be good.
I loved having him only a mile away from home.
Yeah.
Does he have a friend to ride the bus with
or
the train?
Okay. No, it's fine. I'm fine. It's going to be all fine. I was trying to encourage him to take a summer camp class like what you were doing.
Oh, yeah.
But he just kind of wanted to chill this summer.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
So when you have a class of kids from 7 to 16, how long was the class during the day? Because I think people should consider this for like next summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had summer. We have Saturday classes during the year.
Great.
And during that, they're all split up like ages 7 to 11, ages 8 to 12, ages 13 to 16, like all have their own class. Mm-hmm. But for summer camp, it's just kind of different. So we split them up. It was 9 o'clock to 3:30. And so they would just come. We would do like all warm-ups and fun games and stuff together. And then for the lessons that we would teach, the on-camera stuff, we would split them up so that they're doing things appropriate for their age. And like, you know, we can kind of work with them. You can work with teens in a different way than you work with an 8-year-old, you know.
Sure.
So,
right.
And then we brought them all together for improv and sketch and fun stuff like that. And then we would separate them out again for like storytelling and voiceover and all these other things that they got to do.
Sounds like a good... Did you ever do any of those camps? Did you do classes, James, when you were a kid?
No. God, no. It sounds so cool, though. I love that idea.
Andre, did you ever...
I was on the speech team freshman year in high school, and we had a summer team, so we would do, like, extemporaneous humorous interpretation, declaration, different types
really?
Of speech. Yeah, that's it was really cool. It was a real cool program.
That seems cool, yeah.
Yeah, it was really neat.
For summer camp?
No, it was like a traveling... Almost, you know, you have like a traveling troupe or a traveling softball or sports team, like traveling. We just go to high schools in the district and kind of compete over the summertime. It was neat. It was like a 6-week thing.
That's cool.
The summer is such a great time when you're in school to figure out like some of the other things that you don't get to do during the year, whether it's like drama or, you know, there's a lot of art camps that a lot of people have this summer. And it's weird talking about it now. Obviously, summer is winding down. And I'm so glad that it brought you to Chicago because I haven't seen you guys in so long.
I know. It's great. Yeah. It was really...
This has been my longest stretch away from Chicago. Solidly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of going back and forth. I travel a lot. And so, but this last several months have been... In L.A.?
Are you going to Lala?
No.
No Lala?
Lala.
He doesn't even know.
The fact that I didn't even know what that meant is probably no.
I'm sorry. That word is just kind of floating.
I'm sorry, Kristen, you went to Lollapalooza. Yeah, exactly, right.
I got it. I knew a Lollapalooza.
That's like our whole vibe this week. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is all about Lala this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this good steady stream of people? Can you get a sense of
We haven't really gotten a sense of... Have you noticed crowds from here?
No, but I was actually watching from... Now you can... We have such a great view now. I was watching from the South End, and you could see the streets were packed. And you could see some of the stages, too. So it looks like it's pretty packed.
Cool.
Michael was there.
I'm
was
sure
it pretty
it
packed?
Yeah, how was
Lala
the crowd?
Today?
Yeah.
Beautiful weather for it, too.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather was really hot. The crowds were insane, especially you'd see the difference of the old guys' music as opposed to somebody like Post Malone, which it's extended basically the entire length of Lollapalooza for his crowd. It was insane.
Holy cow. And it's supposed to be 94 and 95 this weekend.
Oh, my God. It is always so hot for Lollapalooza.
Bad day for jeans and black shirts.
Oh,
yeah.
That's all I wear.
Do you not wear shorts?
I don't often. I will.
Even in Los Angeles, no shorts for you?
I will during the day, and then, you know, before I get into my evening attire.
Interesting.
It's a pair of jeans.
Does he have like a, you know, a sports jacket?
Velour.
Yeah. Smoking jacket.
When I was last in Los Angeles, Andrea, there was a an incredible beach house. I had the opportunity. It's Airbnb. You open the sliding glass doors and you were in the sand.
Oh, that was nice.
That was magical. I have to go back there. Mm-hmm. It was my favorite place. One of my favorite places on the planet.
It was really nice.
How's everything going in LA? You guys having fun?
Yeah.
Working?
It's going pretty good. It's, I don't know. Now that I've been here 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, what? I don't know.
Are you ready to go back?
We really are in solid vacation mode. We decided.
Oh, good. You should be. Yes.
Yeah.
You should definitely be.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going back. But also, I'm like, well, this is kind of nice. Just...
I have to ask you, I have this picture. I mean, I've been to California a bunch of times, but I'm not an actor or actress, you know, or screenwriter. So I know out there, most people are either actors, especially in Studio City and whatnot. When you guys are there, do you just bump into random celebrities?
Oh my gosh. One of my kids I was teaching at camp asked me the same question. He was like, do you see famous people all the time?
Do you? I mean, because I would just picture, my friend is a photojournalist for CBS here in Chicago, just got a job for the CBS affiliate in LA. And she said, you will literally see, not Tom Hanks, I mean, I'm not talking.
No,
but
you'll
see random people. Like she saw Megan Mullally's husband, Nick Offerman. I guess he's a pretty big celebrity.
Yeah.
At a Starbucks.
She's like,
you'll just see people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you? Sometimes you go like long stretches without seeing anyone, especially me, because I don't ever recognize anyone.
I always recognize. I'm
clueless.
Well, the hard thing is when you see someone out of context, you're like, why do I know that person? You're thinking,
I don't even think I know them.
Right. Who have you seen?
Well, the one that really, and this actually was in New Orleans, last year, but we're walking up, we're deciding a place to eat, and it was kind of a quiet side street, and there's a little nice little corner restaurant, and we see two people kind of outside it. So I look and I realize one of them is John Malkovich. So I'm like,
cool.
Trying, and Kristen's next to me, but I could tell Chris, she's looking at the menu of the restaurant trying to decide if we're gonna eat there.
I was like, can I eat here? Does it have anything gluten free? I need to know.
But they were so close that I couldn't point it out, and it wasn't a kind of opportunity to introduce myself or ourselves. So just she didn't get to experience the John Malkovich sighting.
No.
I was at Starbucks in Studio City, and I saw Muriel Enos, who was the star of
The Killing,
Catch Me If You Can, and The Killing. Oh, she's so good in The Killing.
Yeah.
And I took a selfie of myself with her over my shoulder. I'm like, look who I see at the Starbucks, right? And I put it on Facebook, and I get this message, hey, that's my wife. And it was Alan Ruck, who is from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He plays Cameron from Spin City.
Oh.
Yeah, because he and I were friends of friends, and then we became friends on Facebook because I'm from Chicago.
Oh,
I was
that's
like,
cool.
Hey. So I just was a dork. I'm like, look, I'm Muriel.
Did he say anything
my
about
wife.
It?
You know, that was great. He's cool. He goes, that's my beautiful wife.
That's
kind of weird in a small world.
Yeah.
We are hanging out with James Vickery and Kristen McAllister, who are in town for a couple weeks from Los Angeles, and great to catch up with them. Are you doing? You did some stand up in town, or did you take the whole time off?
The whole time off.
Good
I had
for
a
you.
Birthday.
Yes, I know. Happy birthday. Yep,
thank you.
Sorry, I missed
Happy
it.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
More with our guests when we come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's Friday night in Chicago, beautiful summer night, and you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining me in studio is Kristen McAllister and James Vickery. James, what's the name of the comedian that's on Kimmel right now? I can never remember. He's one of the insult comics that does the roasts.
Yep, it's
Jeffrey Ross.
Jeffrey Ross.
I was hired to do an event next week, and they said, feel free to make fun of people. We'll give you some inside stuff. And I said, I really would rather not do that.
Yeah.
It's not my style of comedy.
Yeah, no.
And what was amusing to me was that, and then they go, just not the boss. And I said, well, you know, if you're worried about the boss, you should, you never know what's going to happen at one of these things. You know, let's just be sensitive to everybody. Because, you know, I've never wanted someone to leave a comedy club feeling as though the entire, set was based on making fun of them or at their expense.
Yeah,
it's just
I
not
know.
Fair.
Picking on someone.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't do it. I swear, I was hosting at the Zanies in Vernon Hills before it closed down a long time ago.
I miss it.
I know. It was so this was like literally 12 years ago, and there's a woman in the front row, and I'm bantering, so you have no idea what you're going to say, but I made fun of this really nice woman's sweater. Like, I don't even know. It wasn't that bad because I'm not like that kind of comedian, but the look in her face, like she looked so hurt that I'm like, ugh, I couldn't. I've like wanted to come down and apologize on the
moment. Well, if it's not like Pat McGann is really talented at making fun of people, making you feel like it's something that you know. Oh, I got Pat made me part of the
You're
show.
Part
kind
of
a Don Rickles thing.
He's so funny.
Yeah, but I've never been able to. I've never enjoyed it. I
can't pull it off.
I can't pull it off either. And people, every time people hire me for like a big gig, they're a corporate event or whatever. Like, oh, make fun of so and so, and here's a joke about whatever. And I tell them, I assure you, I've been to this rodeo before. And fundraisers, you never want to make fun of anybody because people will close their wallets.
Sure.
Unless it's a roast. You know you're going to do that.
So I did that once. I was hired to do a roast for the Republican Party of Illinois on September 10th, 2001.
What?
September 10th.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they hired me to pretend that I was a new councilwoman from Plainfield. And they gave me dirt on everybody. On the mayor of, there were people about, I'm not going to go into the things that I made fun of, but like some people being this one councilman who was under investigation by the FBI and his building mysteriously burned down with all the records. There was all kinds of stuff. Halfway into my set, people are running around like yelling at each other and who hired the, who is this woman? She is not a councilwoman. And people, and I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm a comic. I'm Irish and Mexican.
Oh my God.
Oh, I still got paid. I'll never forget. It was at a country club and I called my husband afterwards. I'm like, you are not going to believe the chaos that just happened at this event. It was insane.
My God.
Yeah.
I had to I was part of, there was like 10 people doing a roast for Orion Samuelson, who's one of our legendary business broadcasters here. He's been at the radio station 50 years. I thought, oh my God. And I there was a bunch of people. It was all his coworkers at the time. And I thought, and his wife organized it. She's like, oh yeah, make fun of this. And I thought, this man's a legend. How can I? So it was very difficult.
Yeah, it's very hard to do.
That's hard. I don't think I don't want to be a recipient of that either.
Right.
it's meanness though too. And now it's become with the Comedy Central roast. It also gets it's so dirty. I mean, I'm not a prude. You know that. But I think, wow.
But like
that's
going
some rough
dirty,
stuff.
It's like super like that's easy to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't like that.
It's very.
I'll watch them. But.
Yeah. Right.
I did
when we did that fundraiser for firefighters last
year.
That was a blast. And I remember because I had asked a couple people, two or three guys in a row. I said, "Oh, did you always want to be a firefighter?" And they both said they wanted to be cops first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Out loud, so that kind of became the running joke. So you can make fun of that. But.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yes, things that are sort of
go with the flow.
Yeah, it's like making fun of the neighboring town or something like that. We're gonna take a break here, and our political roundup team coming in, and so we might squeeze everybody. If you guys want to hang out for this, we'll see what the big stories of the week were. Time now for a quick break, and then news with Andrea Darlis. Let's not freak out. Let's have a level-headed conversation about the biggest stories of the week. Pulling back the curtain a little bit on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We have five guests in studio. We have James Vickery, Kristen McAllister, Eric Elk, Ken Jakubowski, and Dave Lundy. And what everyone has been used to for several years on the show is during the news, we sort of like chat. And I've always thought, Andrea, some of the best shows have happened in between the shows.
Right.
During the breaks. But now everyone will be like, and another thing is about, and then Andrea's mic goes, and I'm like, hup.
Oh, it's so funny because, and you know what's funny? I'm so trained. It doesn't even, having worked on so many different shows here, it never bothers me. You know, people are always like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, you guys can talk all you want.
No, because
unless you swear and it picks it up.
But still, it's the news. So that needs to have a bubble around it because you are a journalist. I mean, when we were talking to Peter Nikias last night about being a guardian of the truth, and that kind of includes it not sounding like a party in here when you're doing the news.
Oh,
so that's, I'm trying. So everyone's trying to be respectful.
The party's
that.
Over,
right? But then,
I know, but I know the
next
party's
commercial
over.
Break. We can.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, but that's the party's thing. Back. Is that it kind of adds a different sort of like, okay, it's just interesting. So it's a start and stop that we're all trying to get used to. But every week is a different sort of interesting. Let's say interesting, Ken, shall we? Ken is the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises and also a crisis communications expert. Do you feel as though like your skills could have helped a lot of people over the last couple of years in this administration?
Yeah.
But they
don't realize that they need help. That's the issue. They're on their own plane, doing their own thing. trying to force America to accept a particular viewpoints that frankly have no basis in fact. And they keep doing it over and over, and they're having some success with it.
Well, the thing is, they're having some success with it. But on the other hand, people who are very happy with the policies the president has put into place, they will point to the tax cuts that they're getting more in their paychecks. They'll point to jobs being low right now, the joblessness numbers being lower right now. They will point to, although I think that wage growth has one of the things that the economists are taking a look at with concern. I mean, Eric, as far as the Conservative Party goes, this seems like a lot of going in the right direction for Republicans.
Yes and no. I mean, we still haven't seen a real wage increase for a lot of workers in the last 20 years, and I think that's causing a real problem. I don't think that this, I still think that this trade issue is going to be a problem long term. And I think globally we're seeing an attack on democracies and the fact that our president is almost applauding what is going on not only here but in other countries with their leaders, that is very problematic.
And that's been my question. I've asked this many weeks in a row, James and Kristen. I've asked many weeks in a row if the numbers with the economy are worth the cost of sacrificing democracy. And I never get calls on saying yes, it's worth it, because maybe because they don't see it that way. Maybe they don't see it as erosion of democracy.
Well, I don't think that folks are looking at this on a macro or global level. And you know, I think there, so many folks are, you know, what have you done for me lately, in looking in the immediate term, and not seeing what is happening now is going to have a negative impact later.
Well, I think what we're seeing is something that's highly unusual. We have an excellent economy. We have job growth. Unemployment rate is now at 3.9%. We had 4.1% growth in the second quarter. Everything is rosy. Yet President Trump is at 41.4% approval,
which is high for considering.
With an economy like,
oops, sorry, it was higher than it was.
But with an economy like that, it should be significantly higher. And you still have the generic ballot, which is about 8%. On the blind ballot, do you support, you know, are you Democrat, Republican for Congress, and it's, you know, plus 8% for Democrats. Imagine if the economy just tilts negative just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Total disaster, total wipeout in the midterms. I mean, we're going to have a wipeout anyway. But this, so normally a president could put his feet up on his desk at this point and smoke a big cigar and go into cruise control. That's not the case. They're scrambling.
And he doesn't seem to have any desire to. He considers the path that he's on of rallies, you know, as the one he had in Pennsylvania. You know, again attacking the media. I'm not sure why you would want to encourage that.
He's going to be in Columbus, Ohio tomorrow,
right,
to try to prop up the Republican in the congressional race that's taking place on Tuesday, the congressional election there, to fill a vacant seat. Solid Republican district. They shouldn't have to spend 1 cent in that district. And I think Trump won that district by 20 percentage points, didn't he, Dave?
Yeah, yes.
And it's neck and neck now.
They've already spent several million dollars, and Trump is going there to try to gin up support. And, you know, look, if they lose this one, there are going to be a lot of Republicans getting really depressed.
But it doesn't seem as though we're at that point now with either party. The Democrats, I still don't see any strong leaders. Am I missing anything?
No, you're not. And unfortunately, this young woman, this 28-year-old woman who won the primary, who beat one of the Democratic leaders out in New York City in the Bronx, is, I hate to say it, but just woefully ignorant. She keeps getting interviewed and she keeps saying things that are just like, why are you doing that? And then, of course, everybody on the right saying, oh, she's your new leader. And, of course, Tom Perez, the DNC chair, said, this is the future face of the Democratic Party. And you're like going, dude, you're not helping.
But both parties are doing this right now. I feel that there's so many on the Democrat side that are running to the left to try to capture that base, just as so many Republicans are running to the right to try to capture, you know, that wackadoo crew.
It's like the Tea Party side and the Democrat Socialist side, sort of yes. those wide range, and people are just trying to operate for the most part somewhere in the middle.
But the Tea Party successfully took over the Republican Party, and they became the Trumpers.
Which is interesting to me because it seems as though things like the bailout for farmers would be something that the Tea Parties would be against. Our debt, the $1 trillion debt that we've added, it would be
the tax package with a $1.5 trillion addition to the debt. They would have been against. Yeah.
I would think it's confusing to me.
Except that, and I think Eric would agree with this. The principled Republicans like Eric are not. In the majority right now, because all the things that the Republican Party has stood for my entire adult life, the things that made Ronald Reagan an icon of the Republican Party, have all been rejected by today's Republican Party and by Donald Trump.
There was a cool story, though. We talked about the blue wave before, you know, and whether or not that's going to happen in 2018. But I thought it was interesting. There have been primaries in 13 states so far this year, and that the resurgence of women. There's more female candidates. I think it said that 72 female House nominees in 66 districts is a huge increase. So this could be the year of the woman.
Oh, yeah. The number of women who expressed interest in running for office on the Democratic side in particular after Trump was elected, after the Women's March, it's literally 20 times any previous year. So
hopefully that means we'll avoid a Handmaid's Tale situation. Nobody's watched Handmaid's Tale.
Oh my gosh, that is freaky.
I need to start watching it.
It's an awesome show.
Don't give it away.
But so scary.
It's so good. Now, Kristen and James, having moved from Chicago to Los Angeles, even I would imagine more liberal, more Democrat than Chicago is, because Chicago has, for the most part, gone blue. In most elections, but there are pockets of the city. And then, of course, the rest of Illinois tends to go to be more perhaps moderately conservative or even more so. Have you guys noticed any difference in the last couple of years since the election as far as how people are because it's such a bubble of liberalism, are people kind of trying to figure out a way to, you know, run differently or is it pretty much the same?
I think we're having the same kind of issues as everywhere, but it is a bigger population of liberal Democrats. I mean, we're surrounded by, we do have like, you know, some red around us in the, you know, suburbs and stuff like that. But I feel like it's, I don't really feel very hopeful.
yeah.
Well, you should feel better. You really should because.
Wait, you say bad or better?
Better.
Yeah. No, I will stake my reputation on the fact that in November we're going to have a complete and total Democratic wipeout in the House, and I think they have a very good chance of getting back the Senate with the stuff I was reading this afternoon. Well, now I put an asterisk next to it because. Anything can happen in the next 3 months. For all we know, there's a terrorist attack and Trump suddenly looks like Rudy Giuliani did on September 11th, 2001, and everyone goes, wow, Trump suddenly is a president. Who knows? Anything can happen. But as it sits now, assuming we continue to go in this path, I have absolutely no doubt that we're going to see a complete and total wipeout.
Well, what scared me a little bit is New York Times just pointed out how you were referencing it earlier, how much his endorsement still means to in Republican races.
In a primary.
In a primary.
But it's like an immediate switch.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm still surprised about that within the Republican Party.
Oh, the GOP has lost its proverbial mind other than people like Eric. I mean, it really...
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, no, thank you. Well, that's because no one's willing to stand up to the president.
But it's not just that, Eric. I mean, you do these polls, and 88% of Republicans approve of Donald Trump. And I look at my Republican friends, and I'm going like, who are you, and what have you done with the people that I've known all these years?
Keep in mind that it wasn't too long ago that there were about 33% of the American electorate said they were Republican. It's now down to about 25 to 26%.
Yeah, and a lot of the former Republicans are now independent,
and that's where Trump. That's where the Republicans and where Trump is seeing its biggest erosion is in the among independents.
Yeah, no, that you're absolutely right.
Let's take a quick break here. We've got a call from Anthony on hold, and we'll be right back. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. The big stories of the week, and in general, we're talking about the direction of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Anthony has a comment. He would like to join the conversation. Hey, Anthony, how are you doing tonight?
All right, Patty, and how are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to say?
Well, it seems like your panel there is literally giddy at the thought of us becoming a socialist country.
Oh, I don't.
Kind of troubling, really.
Can you tell me
what the Democrats are all about?
Pardon me?
Hoping for the blue wave. Well, that's what the Democrats are running on now.
Go ahead, Ken, that was you. Hold on. That was one person on the panel who said that. So I would ask you not to address the entire panel as though they're all excited, because that was simply Ken who made that statement. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I didn't endorse any particular policies. I just said it's going to be a Democratic blue wave that includes the Democratic Party is a moderate party. The media covers...
No, they stopped being that about 30 years ago.
No. The media covers the outliers, like as Dave mentioned, the person who won in Brooklyn.
That Cortez, right.
Who I think is a nut. I mean,
right, but she's the darling, darling
of
the party.
She's not.
That's all you read about now.
That's all you read about. She is not the darling of the party. She's pretty much
fake news.
Well,
hey. I'm pretty sure that what's the guy's name that's the head of the DNC? He said that this is what we're going to.
Michael Steele.
Yeah.
No, Tom Perez
is also off his rocker. I mean, this is a moderate party. Moderate to slightly left party. It's not like her.
But how do you feel about not having borders and not having police or authority?
I think it's insane.
Police? We want.
Yeah, we love police. We love our police, and we love strong borders.
You gotta have to be clear, things, she hasn't said anything like that.
Here, Anthony, hold on one second.
Well, no,
everybody, Anthony.
Abolish ICE was the latest,
Anthony,
one of the latest
hold on.
Cries of the Democrats.
Anthony, okay. Anthony, no. Hold on one second, everybody. Anthony, you asked a question, and a Democrat told you that he believes in the border, supports the police. I suspect that you're going to, after this conversation, disregard that and still believe that all Democrats want socialism and open borders and abolish ICE. Is that the case?
No, but enough Democrats are thinking that way, that, and they're going to be elected after having said this.
Hold
right?
on.
So
Anthony, how many
Cortez, for example,
okay,
based on what she said, that's an endorsement by the Democratic Party that's where they want to go.
That's an endorsement by the congressional district that she will be representing, which is a very left-leaning district in New York.
And Anthony, how many, when you say that enough Democrats believe that, how many is enough? Five, six? I mean, how many is enough?
Well, I mean, one is too many, to be honest with you. I mean, that's just shameful, Anthony, that comes out of her mouth.
Anthony, so when someone like David Duke, you know, who is a Republican and supports Donald Trump.
But he's not going to hold any office.
Well, he has.
He's not holding one today.
Okay, how about the Republican who's running for office in Illinois, who is a Nazi? So since he's won and he's running for office, is that enough for people to say that Republicans are all Nazis?
Do you think he's a legitimate threat? I mean, come on.
Well, Anthony, look, I want to encourage you to take a step back for a second. I understand where you're coming from, because you've read a lot about this particular nominee from Brooklyn, and that's all she is now. She's not elected to Congress
right.
yet.
It's the same thing as the guy in Illinois. So I don't know why my question is
exactly. She beat somebody.
Hold on, go ahead.
Don't take a fringe small group and put its beliefs and views and transpose them to the entire Democratic Party, because it's not the case.
It would be the same in the opposite sense. I have to take a break here. Thank you so much for calling, Anthony. Always great to hear from you.
Holy crap, I am freaking out.
We are not freaking out. We are having a level-head conversation, and even with people we disagree with, we continue to be respectful for the most part. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining me in studio is the president of Aileron Communications, Dave Lundy. We also have Ken Jakubowski, who is a crisis communications expert and also the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. Eric Elk, who is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, and also the former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. We have, I'm going to name everybody, Kristen, actress, writer, producer, Kristen McAllister, and actor, comedian, and writer, and producer, all those things. James Vickery. I almost said James McVickery. I bet people do that all the time. We had a call. We've been talking about the future of both parties, what direction we're headed in, talking a little bit about the midterm elections coming up in the fall. And Robert, I'm not sure what your thoughts are, but you wanted to join the conversation, and we appreciate that. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Good morning, everybody. I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Always very good and informative. I got, you know, I live in Oak Brook. Uh-huh. Now, I rent a home. I don't own it. I used to own a home in LaGrange, but they raised my taxes to $17,000 a year. It's cheaper for me to rent. But this, you know, a couple of questions. Number one, I've never made over $100,000 between me and my wife. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, this trickle down effect that you know, the Republicans push, I don't see it. Okay. Now, maybe they say it's going to take a few years. All I know is I live on a major street in Oak Brook, and I saw about 15, 20 Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Aston Martins go by my house. So they're selling a lot of those.
Right.
About 15 Lear jets, beautiful Lear jets, flew over my house. They're selling a lot of those. I have a friend that makes, I don't know, he does about $800 million a year. He just bought a Lear jet, a $30 million yacht, two helicopters.
What kind of neighborhood do you live in there, Robert? We want to hang out in your hood.
But I had to ask him. I said, I thought you were supposed to give the people who work for you a raise. Well, I gave them $1,000 bonus, and I have 1,200 people that work for me. I go, but you just spent over $150 million.
Humble brag.
I go, couldn't you have given that a little bit more to the people that have been with you for a long time? Why would I do that? So my question is if the Democrats take over, and if they take, what is one specific thing that they would like to do that could change my life? I'm never going to be able to afford a $500,000 car. I'm not going to have a $25 million toy that I can fly around the world in. But what will the Democrats do for a little guy like me?
By the way, me neither. I'm never going to have a Learjet.
Me neither.
Yeah. Trust me, they fly. If you can achieve that in your life, God bless you for
Thank
that.
Thank you. Right.
Actually, fine. I just put my deposit down.
Yeah, but yeah. What would you say?
I put a 0.0001% deposit down on my Learjet.
Well, and I think this is an interesting point because I'm wondering first, Robert, how you felt. Were you doing better under the Obama administration? Although, to be fair, Obama was president, so that's the executive branch, but for most of his term in office, there was a Republican legislative branch. So, and they split.
I own my own business.
Uh-huh.
So, it all, you know.
Do you think that you were doing...
My business relies upon me and my skill set. Mm-hmm. I don't care who's in the White House. And I think that's true with a lot of things if you own your own business. You either strive to make it better. It didn't make a difference who's been in the White House.
I think Dave had his hand up first.
Yeah. The answer to your question, it depends what the Democrats take over. I mean, if the Democrats actually took over the House and the Senate and the presidency again, I think you would see a reversal of some of the draconian policies of Donald Trump. And the Republicans, I think you would see more fairness put back into the tax code. You would see the end of sabotaging Obamacare. There was just a study that came out today from the Brookings Institution that said that but for the sabotage that Donald Trump has done the last 18 months, Affordable Care Act insurance rates would actually be going down this year as opposed to skyrocketing because they've been sabotaging it. You know, the things that are happening below the surface, whether it's at the EPA or at the Food and Drug Administration, the gutting of the regulatory structure that has kept us all safe all these years, those kinds of things are only going to appear to be a problem for you when a crisis happens. So, but you gotta restore some balance on that. So,
I have at least 25 friends. They live in Australia, okay, And you can, you know, it's like Canada. Healthcare is for everybody. All right? And I understand that. The only thing that, like, they explained to me is the car that costs $30,000 here in Australia, it costs $130,000. So when you have health care for everybody, and I think we should have it, okay, everything goes up. I mean, that's how economics work. The money has to come from somewhere, and it has to come from everybody.
Can you also...
I mean, I'm just saying that. Yes. I have friends, I have a boatload of friends that are here illegally, okay? And they do quite well. They make about $100,000 a year. And they've all told me, we do not want to become United States citizens. He goes, why would I want to pay taxes? Why would I want to give your government, right now I make $100,000 in cash?
You, my friend, have some very interesting friends.
Yeah. By the way.
He goes, and the wall is a joke because he goes back and forth to Mexico at least once a month. He's one of 100 people that I know. They all laugh. Yeah, go ahead and build a wall. We'll just build a bigger ladder. So, you know, borders just sometimes, I mean, all this stuff is just kind of goofy when you think about it.
I'm looking at the price differences. Here, I guess just an Audi. Let's use an Audi as an example between the United States and Australia. In the United States, an Audi would cost $67,000. The equivalency in Australia would be, I think he might be right. Hold on a second. Oh no! Wait, this is a BMW. My mistake.
Well, that's totally
doesn't
different.
Matter. It's all high end car.
The average difference is about 67% higher in Australia for car costs.
Right, somehow you have to pay for that free health care because it's not free.
Interesting.
I think people forget nothing's free. Mm-hmm. I love when people say, "Well, the government pays for it." Hello.
Well,
we are the government.
Right, but the question is the various costs that go into healthcare. So, for example, right now we're abusing.
Oh, my God, it's insane.
Well, based on this question, Eric, what do if the Republicans who are not necessarily Trump Republicans are in office, what do they? How would they answer Robert's question as far as what they would do for him to improve his life?
I think that maybe try to do another tax cut is probably what they would say.
Okay.
They would probably say, I mean, frankly, I think if they were being true to the free market, free enterprise, they would block any of these tariffs. They wouldn't support the tariffs that Trump is imposing on other countries. I mean, we want to be able to get as many of our goods out of the country into countries that have consumers who want them.
There you go.
And yet the Republicans in Congress are not doing anything to stop.
Correct.
The tariff policies of the president.
Ken, did you have one last one?
Well,
you are correct. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Cans. If you drink beer, according to, you know, with the tariffs that Trump's putting on Canada with aluminum, your price of beer is going to go up by
there you go.
Who knows how much.
Ken, were you going to say something else?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to remember what the driving, at least the stated driving goal was of the tax cuts. I mean, the thought was that if you give corporations and the wealthy large tax breaks, it would, in essence, trickle down to the workforce. And in fact, Cohen, at that, if you remember, at there was a CEO conference before they had passed the tax cuts, and Cohen asked for a show of hands of how many companies were going to give bonuses and also raise wages of their workers. And almost nobody raised their hands, and Cohen couldn't believe it. Well, that's what's happened. They gave one-time
exactly
small bonuses.
They're buying Ferraris as they drive by my house.
That's right. They put the rest into the company, or they're buying back stock. It's a fundamental flaw in the driving, you know, force behind these tax cuts.
Well, and the other thing is that they may give one-time $1,000 bonuses, but that actually only helps workers a little bit. What helps workers is giving them a raise, and then when you get future raises, you build on your raises.
Well, we are now, how many months in? We're about 8 months into the year when a lot of these tax cuts took place. 312-981-7200. What improvements?
Thanks so much, guys.
Of
love
course.
You,
thank you, Robert. Love you. 312-981-7200. Call us and let us know about that raise you got because your boss got a tax cut. I'm just curious. 312-981-7200.
And the real impact of this is going to hit in the spring mm-hmm. of next year when people start to fill out their taxes and they find that they have limitations now on state and local tax deductions mm-hmm. and their taxes have gone up and will go through the roof.
Yeah, there was a study, I think, that about 30 million Americans will be owing more than they thought they would come tax time.
Yeah, and that's going to depress homes, especially homes $1 million and up. It's going to you're going to see prices drop.
But only in places that have high local taxes and local property taxes.
Uh-oh.
So clearly that won't affect Illinois.
Oh, no. Wait. No.
That's our son. Oh, yeah. Is that
Judy,
yeah.
Judy's been holding for a bit, and she. Are you guys getting the echo?
Yeah.
Judy, it's so weird. I asked you to call back because I was getting an echo before. Judy, will you call back one more time?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Give it one more shot.
You know what's funny?
She actually is okay.
But she's fine. You're not.
We're not. Yeah, I can hear an echo of myself.
Yeah.
I'm echoing. Good.
Judy, we love hearing your voice, so give us a call back and I'll try
to
figure this out.
It's like she's in space.
It is. You're so
Judy in space.
We'll talk to Judy in a moment. Give us a call back. Hopefully line two is okay. More after this. We'll talk to Judy in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. And it's we're not going to freak out Friday edition. More in a moment. I want to respond to or say hello to someone I assume is one of Dave Lundy's Twitter followers, Andy, who says he assumes he's in the right place because we were talking about The Handmaid's Tale. So welcome, Andy, to our show.
Andy is a conservative law professor in Iowa. I believe he's at either Iowa State or University of Iowa.
All right. I love Iowa.
He's come to Lundy Lunch a couple
times. I've performed many times in Iowa. All Cedar Rapids, Cedar Falls, all the cedars in the falls.
We love Iowa.
I love Iowa. We have Judy. Let's see how Judy's doing tonight. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we have a full house tonight. And Judy on the phone. Judy, there's no echo. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, goody.
Yay.
We did it.
We did.
I'm sure it's me.
Yes. It was not you, because it works now.
I've walked down aisles and cars beep, and I'm not touching them. I'm just one of those people that can't touch anything electrical, mechanical, and... I'm really good artistically, but other things, no.
Judy, are you wearing a tinfoil hat by chance?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No. Maybe that would help.
Maybe the other side has put a transmitter somewhere on your body.
Well, I was in Niles, and the other day our electric went out for about 40 minutes, and I said, the Russians have did it. So anyway,
yes, I was
calling to rebut Anthony, and he was talking about how the tax breaks are not going to stay for little people like us, only for the rich people. They get to keep them.
Correct. Those are set to expire. There was an expiration date put on those tax breaks.
Yes, and since they cut off my medical from Canada, I don't know how many people know that. The people who, like me, there's like a billion of us. If you want to check that, we were all getting it from a reputable pharmacy up there. It was okayed by the government, everything. In fact, of all people, Blagojevich was the one that said Illinois people could have it. And I've been doing well by being able to buy it from there. And they cut me off in the middle of July. They said, we can't send any more. So that's gone up drastically. And I have ulcerative colitis, so I take some pricey stuff.
I can imagine.
I'd be happy if I could just have that, although my sister lives in Tunisia, of all places. And she said, you shouldn't have to buy it from another country. And I said, I know.
Now, that's true. Now, Judy, Anthony said that all Democrats or enough Democrats believe that we should have no walls on our borders and we should have no police or ICE. Are you do you agree with that?
Well, I've been down there. We've gone over the border at Laredo a couple of times. I love it. It's great down there. And we had a fine time with no wall. And I don't know how you put a wall through the middle of a river anyway. But, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and through people's property. There are people that own land on
yes.
both sides.
Yes, exactly.
But I suspect you don't think the police should be gotten rid of.
No.
No, exactly.
So I think you have to have some sort of thing at a border, but if I wanted to go over a border, I'd go over it, around it, through it,
when they had it. It didn't work in Berlin.
True. That's true. That's true, so, Judy.
Though yeah. they did kill a lot of people.
Yes, they did.
Managed to do that.
I don't think that's a good solution.
Judy, it was so lovely to hear from you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, we're hoping.
Yep. Well, have a good night. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. We have another listener who wanted to call. I think that she's probably calling to respond to some of the things that Robert was discussing. Hi, Lulu. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
What happened? Oh no, I lost Lulu. Oh.
Oh no.
Lulu.
There goes Judy,
oh no,
too.
You lost Lulu.
I lost everybody. Lulu, give us a call back. That was my fault. That was not Lulu.
Yeah. No, just it's technical issues.
We do. By the way, for Anthony, there are more listeners texting in as well. Another Democrat here who does not support open borders. I support ICE and police. And Tom Perez is not a leader. That's from the 847 texting.
Here.
You go 847.
You go 847.
The 773 asks, why won't you say the name Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Because I keep forgetting.
I keep forgetting
me,
it,
me too.
I know what she looks like. We got a picture of her right up
because I'm going to say like a part of the name and then I'm going to butcher the rest.
Just to be clear, I think we appreciate and really applaud her enthusiasm. We really do. Unfortunately, most of the policies that she supports are less than intelligent. I mean, we got to tell the truth.
They're not based in reality.
Exactly. I mean, it's you know.
Lulu, I will not drop the line on you again. Hi, Lulu. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I thought I was going to say something stupid.
No, I did not. And you know what? It's good to hear your voice, my friend. What do you want to say?
Well, I wanted to kind of go back to the caller. I think he was from Oak Brook.
Yes, with the Lamborghinis.
Came out about rich people and driving their Ferraris and whatever. I am a pauper amongst the rich, and I, rather than being a pauper amongst paupers, I know some people. A lot of people, but they're friends of mine. I can't give you the name. You'd know it. You know exactly who they are. And I never begrudge them their money. They work for their money. This isn't passing monies down, to the kids so they can just do what they want. All of them actually have a real job.
Right.
And that's what upsets me about the rich. It irks me. And maybe it is because I know them.
Right.
Believe me, I'm not living high.
It's interesting because I grew up in a neighborhood. I grew up in a very small one-bedroom apartment in not an affluent neighborhood, but near parts of my neighborhood had really beautiful properties. So I lived near people who had a lot more than we did. And it was never that I was mad at them for what they had. As a kid, I grew up to learn that I wanted more for me and my family. And my parents worked very hard to make sure that I would be on that path and that my mom eventually could be on that path as well. Unfortunately, my father didn't necessarily live long enough to enjoy that. But I get where you're coming from. I don't begrudge what they have. There a lot of people work very hard for what they've accumulated. It's just strange when you have when it gets into this bigger stratosphere of taking care of each other when it comes to corporations and billionaires and millionaires and not paying their share, I think is a part of the conversation as well, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, look, I have
absolutely. I think it's that's a great point. And but we're not going to be able to make things better by redistribution of wealth. It's not going to happen.
Well, actually, one of the things that that a lot of conservatives and a lot of economists are very, very concerned about, and increasingly so in the United States, is the increasing income inequality. Because right now, the top, I think it's the top 2% own 90% of the wealth in this country.
Yeah.
That's the thing is the consolidation of wealth, I think, is a bigger threat to everybody than the redistribution of wealth. And I don't support the redistribution of wealth, but why isn't anyone concerned about the consolidation of wealth?
Well, and the consolidation of wealth is happening because all of these policies are increasingly designed to benefit the top 2%. And look,
I don't agree with that at all.
Right. You don't agree with those policies?
Right.
Yeah. So for example, the Pritzker campaign has talked about promoting a progressive income tax in Illinois. Right now, the income tax is flat. We all pay the same percentage. Doesn't matter whether you're a billionaire or whether, you know, you make $20,000, although there are deductions below. But and what the proposal is that there would be a progressive income tax. Now, what that means is that people like me are going to pay a lot more money in taxes, but that's fair. It's appropriate. I'm not going to complain about. Okay, I'll complain a little, but it is fair and appropriate. And I'm sorry, the rich should be paying higher percentage of their income because more of their income is disposable.
Lulu, I have,
well, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but yet this particular family I'm talking about, they employ thousands of people, and you know. And those people are out buying bread, milk,
right,
clothes, shoes, and all that. So it's kind of a vicious circle. But, I mean, if we have to tax them higher, then, you know, let's go. But
go Lulu.
Doing it,
yep.
They're going to find a loophole, and that's what happens.
That's the thing. Well, we've got to run because I've got to get to news with Andrea. So quick break here. Lulu, wonderful to hear from you. Look forward to talking to you again. More in a moment on 720 WGN. In just a few moments, we'll play What's That From? You'll have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics because we'll be reading a scene from a movie. And when you can tell us what that's from and what classic movie we've destroyed for you forever and you can never watch the same way again. So far, I think we've done stellar jobs with Dr. Strangelove and Casablanca and Five Easy Pieces. And we're going down the list. But I wanted to make sure we get to our callers who wanted to join the conversation we've been having for the last hour on our Friday roundup of all the big stories of the week. Ron, you wanted to join us. What's up, Ron?
You're against wealth distribution. Excuse me, I just had a brain freeze.
Consolidation. Wealth consolidation.
But the Republicans aren't against it. They're proposing a $1.5 trillion elimination of the, capital gains tax, which would benefit the rich absolutely perfectly and destroy the middle class and poor. And also, as far as the Republicans, the rise of hate and racism and voter suppression, these are American values that I have never seen. And it's simply the rise of fascism and the imposing of the rich rule on our country. I'd like to have that addressed by the Republicans.
Eric,
let's start with voter suppression. In Michigan, 75,000 votes were not counted in Flint, Michigan, and Detroit. 75,000 the last election.
Eric?
Well, first of all, I don't think Republicans are, what'd you say, racist or...
And fascist.
Fascist?
The rise of racism, I said. That's what I said.
So you're blaming... Oh, get it straight.
Trump.
Thanks. You're blaming Trump. You can say Trump, but I don't think you say all Republicans. I think that's inaccurate. I mean...
In the same way Anthony was in.
Which party was Abe Lincoln with?
I'm turning everyone's microphones off. Hold on a second. No. Because if you go back to Abraham Lincoln's speech at Cooper Union,
correct,
he would say he was a liberal and a progressive and that the Democrats at the time were the conservatives. So if we talk
correct
about it from that angle, then you know you're going to open
yes
that can of worms.
But
let's
I
play
did
this game.
No. But I think it's completely, completely wrong to just say, oh, one party is responsible for the rise in racism or anything like that. I think that's completely.
But they did elect Trump.
Eric, I got to tell you.
Wait,
though,
no, it wasn't all Republicans that elected Trump. Hold on one second.
They did.
There were a ton
Trump
of there were a ton of people who voted for Bernie in the primary that crossed over and voted for Trump
but in
the general.
But
let's look at this. There's 18% of Americans who think that. Only believe that the federal government does the right thing most of the time. And when you look at the fact that you have 29% of folks who voted for Trump, 23% folks who voted for Clinton, they thought they were electing their candidate that would actually lead to some sort of progress. Neither candidate had overwhelming support or a feeling that they were actually going to do something good. I mean, that's really problematic for both parties right now.
But
I think we are looking at potentially there could be a rise for a third party candidate to actually do something really well in this country, because I think both parties or institutions are fundamentally flawed right now.
And that was just like Anthony, and to your point, Ron, when Anthony said there were enough Democrats out there that want these things that are absolutely not true, in the same way, as I mentioned, we can't paint either party with one broad stroke, well, even though it feels that way to both sides.
At the national level, and what you just heard from Eric is a really good moderate Republican struggling to come to grips with the fact that his party has basically, I don't know how I can't say this on the radio, but basically the party's has been taken over by Donald Trump and all the Trumpers. I mean, and it's unfortunate. A person like John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who is somewhat of a moderate to right-leaning.
He's a conservative.
But within traditional Republican definitions of that, which don't exist anymore, a person like Kasich wants to run for president. He can't do it in the as a Republican. I think he's unelectable because of the fact the party's been taken over by Trumpers.
Well, Ronald Reagan's unelectable in today's Republican
Party.
Yes.
I would say that both Ron, who's on the line right now, and Anthony, who called last hour, that's where we've come, though, Ron, is where we call entire groups of people or describe them in one way, because that's the way it feels, right? Or that's the way it appears, or those are the stories you're being told. When we talk about, you know, why is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez now the face of the Democratic Party? Because that's kind of the story that the media is going after. She's attractive, right? And it's a vibrant story. So we need to dig a little bit deeper. And it's one of the reasons why this show has always tried to talk about state politics and talk about where things are going fundamentally in your local area. So, Ron, the most important thing is that you're joining the conversation and wanting to share your thoughts. So I want to tell you I appreciate you for that.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you, Ron. Have a good night. And what's funny, you guys? We mentioned that we hadn't heard from somebody in a while. Guess who's on the line? It's Pumpkin. Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, listen, I tuned in about 7 minutes ago just to hear the echo. I don't know if it's Lulu or somebody else. And I said, that's
Judy.
An omen. I've got to call in.
Yes.
My timing was apropos. Okay?
Yes. What's up?
This is a question for Ken. Okay. And by the way, I think they're planning on, I think the Kepler Gains thing is no gainer. Okay. Wouldn't do it. I'd rather extend the discount, the tax rebate for Central America. Okay. Now the question for Ken. I'm an American manufacturer. I make widgets. I sold to Japan, which has historically, over the last almost two decades, subsidized all of their industries, devalued the yen, all that good stuff. Your people are well aware of that. So, Ken, I'm a widget manufacturer, and I sell to China. My tariff is 25%. Gizmos they sell to the United States are imported at 0% to a minimal 2% tariff. How long is that inequity in trade balance going to be able to survive while we see deficit after deficit climb and climb and climb? My point on the last conversation was, we're going to see some pain in the interim. China has purchased enough soybeans from our farmers to last them for, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 quarters. They've really sapped our supplies. Our silos are empty. So do you grasp that situation? The answer to my question is what?
Yeah, I
okay,
do
so
not...
Ken, I'm gonna turn you down. I mean, Joe, I'm gonna turn off the. I'm gonna put you on hold because otherwise we get an echo.
Oh, now the echo's gone. Now that
I put him on hold.
Yeah,
as long as I put him on hold. Yes.
I am not someone that supports tariffs. I think you negotiate. I think you do it through negotiation. Now, some would say, and I think the president would say, that what we're doing is really a negotiation. All the threats of tariffs and the tariffs that he's already imposed, and the threats to raise tariffs even higher, that we're just really negotiating, and you can't really judge the end product in midway through. Okay, I understand that. I just don't think it's really, I don't think tariffs are smart policy, but I understand where Joe is coming from, and that's not a good situation that needs to be addressed. There's no question about that.
But also, it's important to point out that there's a lot of cherry picking going on. When the president talks about a specific tariff situation that makes it look like Canada, for example, he would go on about how, well, there's 25% tariffs on, I forget what the product was, in Canada, and that's outrageous. And then you say, okay, but the macro level, we both have a trade surplus with Canada, and we have significantly higher tariffs on Canadian goods than Canada has on our goods. So I think that when you're talking about China, I agree with Joe.
And
I agree with the president.
You referenced Japan.
Well, but I think he meant China because he then talked about China. You know, when you talk about China, yeah, China is unfair in a lot of ways, one of which is their constant stealing of our intellectual property.
One other thing I would say on having good trade relations with China is I think it's really important to have that good relationship just to stabilize that part of the world. An unstable relationship with China is very unhealthy in that part of the world for us and our allies. It promotes really, really bad things to happen, especially with North Korea.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I guess I agree with Joe. And it, to an extent, I agree with Donald Trump that there are inequities throughout the trade environment that need to be addressed. I just disagree strongly with his methods.
Joe, again, well, because I have the echo, as you can hear, that's why I had you on hold. I hope that sort of addresses what you wanted to know from our guests.
Walker, you heard an echo? I did. You know, you're clear as a bell. Last time we talked, too.
I know this is. We're getting. That's why I had you on hold, was because we're getting a severe echo in the studio.
Gotcha. Right? Let me put one thing in real fast because I'm echoing. That's annoying. I understand. Hey, the last conversation that I heard from three separate individuals was, I appreciate it. But the bottom line is, yes, I agree. Talk to people.
Yes. I talk to people, echo or
agree.
No echo. Have a great night,
absolutely.
Joe.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So
adios, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's take a break here, and I think we'll end our show rather than tell me something good. We're going to do the last segment. Is going to be What's That From? Once again, yeah. Roger Badish has pulled a script of, I'm guessing, is it a classic movie, Roger, that we'll maybe recognize?
Is it something
not
from the
80s,
Roger?
It's not a classic movie, but it's a...
Familiar?
Well, no, it's a familiar movie, sure.
Okay. All right,
sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. If you want to get in right now and think you'll know what it is, I would be impressed if someone could guess before we even start reading the script. 312-981-7200. If you're correct about what movie we're reading a scene from, you'll win a gift card from Apt Electronics. And make sure you say hi to Steve Shapiro when you stop by at the store in Glenview. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
That's right. We will take a scene from a, I guess Roger says, a somewhat familiar movie. Is that how we're categorizing this
one,
Roger?
Yeah, I think so, sure.
Okay. 312-981-7200. When you know what movie that's from, give us a call and you'll have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics. And we'll take it away right now, Roger.
All right. Elaine's Restaurant, Interior Night. Elaine's is a cozy place, like there are many around Greenwich Village. Carol and Larry are eating at Lane's with Cy, Marilyn, and Ted.
I'll tell you something. I think it's weird. I mean, listen to this. One night she's having coffee, and the next night they're carrying her out in a rubber bag.
Oh, I know. And she did not look like she was ready to go.
Maybe this guy killed her, you know? Like... He's got, like, a young Tootsie statue someplace or something.
No, not this. You gotta see this guy. This guy gets his jollies from licking the back of postage stamps. He's a boring old...
Well, I can see that, yeah. Depending on whose picture is on the stamp.
She never once mentioned that she had a heart condition.
Well, what is she gonna say? Oh, yeah, hello, I'm Mrs. House, and I have a bad heart.
Well, she had no problem telling me about her hysterectomy in the first 5 minutes.
It's much easier to talk about a hysterectomy than it is to talk about a heart condition.
You said she liked eating high cholesterol desserts. Is that what you said?
So she had one too many.
No. She wasn't on a diet. We discussed diets.
So she wasn't on a diet, but...
This would be a really great way to kill somebody.
How?
You clog their arteries with whipped cream, chocolate mousse, butter. They go like that.
Carol is laughing very heartily at Ted's joke.
Ah, that's great.
I like, it's disgusting.
You know what I mean.
It's disgusting, but, it's fatal.
Wouldn't that just be great?
I'd like to French pastry myself to death right now.
I'll help you.
I really would.
All right.
In fact, I'd like another piece of pie right after this. Do I dare? I like yours better than this.
Are you going to start a restaurant? Are you serious about that?
You really should. You're a great cook.
Because if you do, count me in. I want to be part of that, really.
Really?
You should.
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, God. It would be just wonderful.
What are you encouraging her for? It's so...
She's great. She's a great cook.
I know, but...
Well, it's thanks to you, actually. I mean, it was his idea, the cooking lesson. So, I don't know.
Yes, I had.
Yeah, but a restaurant is a serious business. I mean, you just can't take that lightly. You can't be cavalier about a restaurant.
I'm not being cavalier about it.
Do you know how time-consuming it is? Yeah, you have to be there every night.
Absolutely.
You'd be stuck there, you know?
Wait, look.
They steal from, if you're not there, you gotta be...
But it's what I do. It's what I do, Larry.
She'll cook. She's great. She's a pro. She's a pro. She'll be cooking in the kitchen. I'll be at the front running the joint like Rick, you know, in Casablanca.
It's not that easy.
You do it anyway, right? You will get paid for it.
Right. Directs.
I'm set. I'm serious about it. I mean, it's not like a hobby. I mean, it's got to be a serious thing.
I'll be your first customer.
And scene.
Hold on. Yay, everybody did a great job. Hold on. Let me go to the phone lines and see who can figure out what's that from.
Wow.
No clue.
Anyone?
Come on.
Roger, captain of the obscure movies.
You guys, all right, who did the Jewish delicatessen voice?
Sai.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. All right.
The Jew did it, Roger. No. It's typecasting.
Who does that remind you of in the movies?
Al Capone? No, I'm kidding.
Roger, you're going to have to give hints to the audience because no one
You're going to have to give hints to the studio.
One call, Roger.
The guy who wrote this, directed it, and starred in it is a very iconic and eccentric movie writer, director, producer, and star.
Okay.
Can I guess who that is?
No, because I need the listeners.
Yeah, blank looks here in the studio.
No text came in either.
Can I ask Roger if this movie's from 1969?
No.
I feel like we're playing charades now.
It's from later. Crazy? It's from much later.
Yes, yes, Michael.
Yeah. Then my guess is wrong.
So I need to grab the phone calls during this segment, and we actually had one caller who had it right and then hung up right away.
No.
Call back.
Was that anonymous or Lulu? Because I saw Lulu's.
It was anonymous, and he said the name of the movie, and then said, "Thank you, bye bye."
Anonymous.
What?
You know what it was?
No, dude.
Anonymous. It was
That's
a ghost.
Not how you play the game.
You know, it was Roger.
It was Roger. Yeah.
Notice
that's a good one.
Notice I only had two lines in the whole thing.
312-981-7200.
Anonymous, call back, please.
From New York.
Yeah, uh-huh. We got that part.
You get 4 minutes, Rod.
This, the writer and director and producer and star, has been nominated, or his movies have been nominated for Academy Awards.
Well, you're going to have to give us one of the movies, because at this point, no one's calling in.
Yeah,
a single person on this
floor. So let me tell you something good.
Oh, wait.
All right, how about this one? Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, right. I know what it is.
All right.
I think I know which one it is, too.
Yeah, me too.
Is it one of the more sad ones? Like the darker? I mean, not that they're not...
Not really a sad one, no.
Right.
No.
Not that any of them are super.
If I'm Radio Days, how about that? There's another one.
Scenes from a Mall.
Yeah.
Hold on, someone's calling.
No.
Let's see if Robert's got it. Hold on.
Don't speak.
Don't speak. Robert? Okay, Robert, for this gift card to Aptelectronics, you're the only listener who's called on this one. This is the first time it's ever happened. Robert, what's that from?
Woody Allen, Manhattan.
Man, what's the full title? What's the full title? You're correct so far.
Oh, you're killing me.
You're so close.
They were talking about someone who had died.
And one way you could die is by being...
in Manhattan.
Well, and it was really this. Mysterious how yes. they died.
Yeah, if you're yes. trying to figure
Salmonella?
Out, it's a...
Oh, no. Hold on a second. Sorry, Robert. All you got was... I'm with you, Robert. That's probably... I wouldn't have even gotten that much, to be honest with you. Victoria, what's that from?
The Room?
Roger?
The Room? No, sorry.
Wow.
Thank you, Michael.
Roger, you...
I
this
got
is
it
fine
now.
That you stumped everybody.
I'm not trying
I
to stump.
That.
I thought it was very well known.
Roger, don't speak.
Don't speak.
Don't speak.
Here, Paul, I think...
That was a hint, by the way.
I'll have a lot of faith in Paula. Paula, what's that from?
Manhattan Murder Mystery.
Yay! There you go.
I've never seen it.
No, me neither. Roger. Buddy.
And I've got three more movie scripts.
Oh, good. Cannot wait. I can't. The time.
And you would know them all.
Look at the time.
Look at the time. I'm going on vacation next Tuesday.
Oh, that's
I'll be
right.
off.
Oh.
Yes, that's okay. When I come back, we will hold those.
Don't end it like this.
Don't cross the street. It's going to be super obvious. Don't cross the street.
The next one's I'm going to get you, sucker.
Oh, God, yeah, boy. Oh, man. Paula's got a gift card to Apt Electronics. My something good is that I'm gonna get a bidet for my bathroom. I don't care what my husband says. I said, I want a bidet. And he goes, how about if I just give you a spray bottle to put in there? And I think he meant the sink. Anyway.
Wait. TMI. TMI.
That was
He just gave me a great idea for our family Christmas gift, to the in-laws.
They just make a toilet seat that
just
has a bidet built in.
Okay.
Awkward transition. So my something good is I'm really excited because Eli's coming. Eli is coming home tomorrow.
Isn't that a song?
It is a song.
Okay.
It's a great song by Three Dog Night. Anyway, he's coming home tomorrow from 3.5 weeks away.
Yay!
Cannot wait to see him. He's had the time of his life out at... out in Boston. And,
excellent.
And can't wait to have him back home.
Andrea, what's your something good?
Something good is I'm playing archery tomorrow.
You're playing archery?
Well, I'm learning archery tomorrow for weekend break.
Excellent.
In a couple of hours.
Oh, let's get her out of here because she got to go to bed. Ken, tell me something good.
What?